Bav Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin Lamed Aleph. Attention to detail. Latzeit Yedei Shamayim. Lack of attention to detail can sometimes get us into trouble. The question is, to what degree are we responsible for the trouble we get ourselves or other people into because we didn't notice a particular detail? That's part of the subject of the Gemara that we're learning. And the approach is interesting. We've got to understand the role of the Rambam. We use him so often, but I haven't talked to you often about how the Rambam works and how we use the Rambam, particularly the Rambam compared to the Rif. We've talked about both of them. They're both foundations of all the halacha that we have. The Rif works, as we've often said, by curating and summarizing the halachically relevant pieces of Gemara. So the Rif works as a wonderful summary when you've learned the Gemara. When you've learned the Gemara, you learn the Rif, and it's very concentrated. And there were days when the Gemara wasn't well understood and wasn't easily available, that people just learned the Rif. And it's a shortened form of learning the Gemara. He goes according to the order of the Gemara. But the order of the Gemara is a very strange order. And there are all sorts of reasons for the order of the Gemara, but it's not something that's linear in any way at all. The Rambam reframes the whole of the Talmud. The whole of the Gemara is reframed by the Rambam. So sometimes you don't just use the Rambam as a codifier like we use the Shulchan Aruch. You want to know what the halacha is, you look up the Shulchan Aruch and you see the halacha. When we're learning Rambam, it's not just to codify. The Rambam's our Rebbe also. The Rambam shows us how to understand, how to learn, how to approach a Gemara. And he gives us the framing of the Gemara so as to make the Gemara more easy to understand. And this is a good example. That's how we're going to approach this piece of Gemara. We're going to approach it through the eyes of the Rambam. We'll understand what's happening in the Gemara, but most importantly of all, we'll understand a Rashi. It's through the lens of the Rambam we really understand what Rashi means. Let's have a look and see, because Rashi is our other Rebbe. These are our teachers. The Rambam teaches us. Rashi teaches us. They're not just books you look up. You learn with them. They learn with us. And we learn how to learn from them, and we learn how to see the world from them. It's so important that we go through the process with them, and we don't just look at the bottom line. In the Torah, we have three important psukim for the purposes of today. The one is Lo Tignovu, you're not allowed to steal. Fine. The other one is Veloy Tigzol. You're not allowed to steal using gazela. You remember the difference between Geneva and gazela. Geneva is surreptitiously and gazela is openly. So you can't steal surreptitiously, you can't steal openly. Then in Parshas Vayikra, we read only a couple of weeks ago, Vayaki Yechtav Hashem Vehishiv et HaGzela Asher Gazal. And if you did steal, you've got to return it. But that mitzvah is given to us for gazela. If you robbed openly, then you've got to return what you robbed. And what happens if you stole surreptitiously? It doesn't say Vashivita Gneva. What is the status of an object that you stole surreptitiously? If it was Gezela, you robbed a person openly, you've got to give it back to them. And what about if you stole from them? What do you have to do? Says the Rambam. Kol ha-gonev mamon mishave prita umala over al lo ta'aseh. If you steal anything of value, you've transgressed a negative mitzvah of the Torah, shenema, lo tignovu. Number one, person steals, you've done an avero, transgressed. Vein lokim alav zeh, there's no, the human court doesn't execute any punishment for that. Why? Sharei nitan letashlumin. As we'll see, the Rambam has a principle, we have it in the Gemara, that where a love is nitan letashlumin, where the Torah says you may not do something, and if you do, you can pay and rectify what you've done, that rectification means that's the Torah's preferred way of solving for the damage you caused, and the Beis Din doesn't punish you for it. And here there's a possibility of payment, she'aganav chayavah ha-Torah l'shalem, because the ganav, a person who stole, the Torah obligates him to repay. Where? We didn't have such a posuk. Gezela, yes, and if you look and compare it to Gezela, the Rambam in Hilchot Gezela, kol ha-gozel et chavero, but if you did it with Gezela, if you robbed, not surreptitiously, but openly, then you're over an Isur, a different Isur, lo tigzo. Ve'in lokin alav zeh, and also for this one, the Beis Din doesn't give you any punishment. Sharei, why? Ha-katuv nitko le'aseh. He doesn't say because nitan letashlumin. So the Rambam introduces us to two different things. A court doesn't punish if there's a way to rectify the transgression through payment. And another case is that there's no court enforced punishment if there is a mitzvah's asay attached to the law asay. The Torah says don't do. However, if you did it, then this is what you have to do. That means that's what you have to do, and there's no other punishment. Because if you stole, you've got to return it. Notice the difference in the Rambam. Firstly, in the case of Geneva, he says, Shari nitan l'tashlumin, and here he says, nitak l'ase. Secondly, in the Rambam, he says, chieva Torah l'shalem, you have to pay, you have to do restitution. And here it's chayav l'achzir, you have to return it. Why? Because it says, v'yeshivet ha'gzela she'gazal zu mitzvat asei. V'yeshivet ha'gzela she'gazal is a mitzvat asei. So in the case of gzela, there's a mitzvat asei, there's a positive mitzvah. You transgressed by stealing, and you've now got a positive mitzvah to do by returning. You've got to return it to the owner. In the case of geneva, you transgressed by stealing, and you've got to pay, but that's not a positive mitzvah, it's something else. What happens if he's burnt the thing that he stole? He can't return it. Then chayav l'shalem dameh v'chol lav shenitan l'tashlumin ein lokin alav. If you don't have the thing, you can only be mekayim the mitzvah if the thing is still intact. And you give the thing back, you fulfill the mitzvah. But if you haven't got the thing intact, you've got to pay, like as in the case of geneva. But that's payment. That's not the mitzvah of hashava. That's not the mitzvah of returning. So that's the framework with which we approach the sugya. The case in our Mishnah and that the Gemara deals with is a man comes along to Beis Din and he says, well, to two people in front of Beis Din, he says, Reuven and Shimon, I've got a confession to make. I stole money, and it was from one of you, but I don't know which one it was. How much do I have to pay? Now, we've had this Gemara on Daf Gimel, our second shiur on Bava Metzia, Daf Gimel. We actually learned this Gemara as well, but we approach it from a different perspective. So what's the din there? The din is noten leze maneh or leze maneh. He has to pay each one of them 100. I stole 100, and I've got to repay 200, 100 to each. She hodabif mipiatzmo, because he owned up himself, he volunteered the information. So the Gemara goes on and asks questions backwards and forwards and brings proofs and says, but why does he have to pay two? Nobody's claiming the second 100. Who can claim the second 100? Nobody's got proof. If he wouldn't have admitted it, it wouldn't have been there. Anyway, the Gemara comes to the conclusion and says, if they were claiming from him, they could only claim 100 and they would have to share the 100. But since they're not claiming, hacha bevar latzeit yedei shamayim. He's coming to be Yotze Yedei Shamayim. He's saying, look, I know that technically I stole 100. I've got to return 100. It's their problem to figure out how to split it. But I need to return 100. But I want to do more than that. I want to come to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with no thought of any geneva on my hands. I want to do the right thing. What does that mean exactly? Says Rashi. Me'ilav ba limalech limloch ma yaseh v'lo yanesh. This is not a court case. This is a shaila. The difference is a court case takes place in a Beit Din, in a court of law. Claimants come and there's a defendant and the Dayanim make a psak. A shaili is one person comes to the Rav, he's sitting in his study in his home, and the Rav comes and the person comes and says, I have a shaila, I need a psak. That's what we're dealing with here. No claimant says, this is a psak, this is a Rav giving a psak. What's the shaila? I don't want to be punished for this. I know that I can give back the 100 and they can sort it out. But will I really not be punished? Is that it? No further obligation? What punishment is he worried about? He stole, understand, but he's given it back. What is he worried about? The Rav would say to this person, if you want to do the right thing, you're not asking about what you're obligated to do technically. You're asking about what the right thing is to do. The right thing is to give them each 100. Why? Look at Rashi. Because if you just leave it for them to fight it out and to figure out who it belongs to, it comes out that indirectly the nigzal, the person from whom you stole, has suffered loss. What is Rashi telling us? It's unbelievable what Rashi is telling us. The issue here is groma b'mamonos. This is the question of groma. You have indirectly caused damages. That's the shaila. As far as the issur is concerned, you stole and you've returned the 100. Now you've got no stolen property in your assets. The 100 shekel, the $100 that you stole is given back. But you've been gorem hefsed. What's the din with groma? What's the din when you indirectly cause damage? Potu midi adam v'chayav midin eshamayim. A court of law can't enforce it. So the Rav says, look, I can't enforce it. And Beis Din can't force you to pay. But if you want to do the right thing, bidei shamayim, the din with grama is that bidei shamayim, Hashem wants you to repay, even though the court of law can't do it. So says Rashi, this is a law of damages. This is not a law of isr. The question here is, you've caused indirect damage, which works so beautifully according to the Rambam. When it's gzeila, there's an isur of theft and there's a mitzvah of return. When it's gneva, is this, by the way, gneva or gzeila? Can you tell? The Mishnah uses the word gazal. Gazalti lechad mikem. But is this gzeila or gneva? It has to be gneva, because they don't even know it happened. They don't even know who it was. It's although we're using the word gzeila, that's a generic term. It's gneva. Says Rashi, if it's gneva, what does the Rambam say? By the Rambam, there's no mitzvah hashava, there's no mitzvah to return, but there's certainly an issue to cause damage. And you've caused indirect damage. That's your shaila. I've caused somebody indirect damage. Does that mean I have to pay 200 shekel, $200? Yes, you do. Not out of the laws of theft, out of the laws of gneva, you've paid back what you stole, so you're not holding anything stolen. But and there's no mitzvah hashava. But there is a chiyuv to restore, there's a chiyuv bidei shamayim to restore indirect damage that you've caused to somebody. That's how Rashi holds. So what's the act of damage? And here's where it gets really beautiful. What's the act of damage? It isn't the theft. I stole, but I've returned that. You guys figure it out. It's not my problem that you can't agree who lost the money. I'm returning it. So where have I done an action that causes nezek? We discussed in Bava Kamma, nezek needs an act of nezek. You've got to do something damaging. What did I do here? Yes, it's indirect, but was there any maise at all? Says Tosfos on the next page. Lekach nira de kulamat nitin ayri bevalatit de shemayim ulekach bereisha de havalei lemedak. You should have noticed who gave you what. There's a difference. The Gemara talks about a case where two people come at the same time and they both deposit with you and they don't discuss which one belongs to which one. They kind of trust each other. So you don't take a lot of notice. You just figure when they come to return it, you'll give them the two packages and they know which one is which. But in the case here, it's done separate. He stole it. He should know from whom he stole. But where you can't have expected him to be mindful and attentive, then there's no chiyuv. And the Nemuki Yosef goes and explains it in greater detail, expands that idea in greater detail. The point being, your mindlessness was the act of damage. That's an unbelievable chiddush. That mindlessness where you should have been mindful, where you can't be expected to be mindful, that's just normal human behavior. That's not an act of damage. And the Nemuki Yosef says clearly, as does Tosfos, in such a case, you would be patur. If it was a situation where you can say, I couldn't have paid attention as to which one was which, they came together. There's no way I could have. I don't even know if I stole. There was such confusion at the time. I don't know if I took anybody's money. I'm not sure. I want to pay back in case. So we don't say, well, you're a bad person because you should have paid attention. I couldn't have paid attention in those situations, so you don't have to pay more than you stole. But where you should have paid attention, that's the act of damage. It's indirect damage. I didn't come and do anything to you. I've stolen, but I've returned the money. Now the damage I'm causing you is that I don't know which one I stole it from. The damage is not the theft. The damage is the e-yidiyah. The damage is the lack of clarity. Why is there lack of clarity? Because I wasn't paying attention. Says Tosfos and the Nemuki Yosef, not paying attention is in itself an act of damage, and therefore what you've caused is groma, you've caused indirect damage, which you have to restore, which is the way Rashi understands the Gemara according to the lens of the Rambam. And it's beautiful, and we learn from there how important it is to pay attention, to notice what we're doing, and to be really attentive. That mindfulness is talked about so much, and mindfulness doesn't just mean sitting quietly and meditating with your eyes closed. Mindfulness means being attentive to everything you're doing, to notice where you put down your key, to notice where you put down your pen, to notice when it's somebody's birthday, just to be mindful, to be attentive. And where we should be attentive and we're not, again, there are times where you can't help it. Life is chaotic and you can't be attentive. But where you should be attentive and we're not, we're responsible for that. That's indirect damage that we cause people. Sometimes we cause it emotionally. You say to somebody, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was your birthday today. But why didn't you realize? If it's somebody close to us, if it's somebody that's meaningful to us, they can't do it. I'm sorry, I was busy, I didn't realize. Yeah, but that's nezek itself. That's also damaging. That's the standard the Torah holds us to. It's so beautiful when you see the standards the Torah holds us to. It tells you what Hashem thinks of us. What tells you what the Torah thinks of us, what we're capable of, what we're expected of, how we're meant to treat each other with mindfulness, with care. And in times like this, when everybody is suffering all over the world, everybody, and the Jews particularly, in Eretz Israel even more so, how much more so do we have to be mindful? Do we have to notice these things and not go around without noticing, drive without noticing what's happening around us, walk without noticing what's happened around us, daven in shul without noticing what's happening around us? Got to notice what's happening and be able to respond to it. Rabbeinu Hananel, I believe, learns the Gemara differently from Rashi. Let's just have a quick look at the words of Rabbeinu Hananel and see if you can notice the difference. Here in the Mishnah, we're talking where he wants to do the right thing, and he owns up himself. The only people claiming anything from him is the Beis Din. So according to, already we see the case is a little different. He's saying, this is not a person walking into the rabbi's study and asking a shayla. Beis Din is actually saying, hey guy, you've actually got something you still need to take care of. Amrinan le ein lecha derech latzeit yedei avero, he uses the word. You can't get rid of the avero of lo tigzol, ela im titein lezech mea v'lezeh mea, shemikol makom heshavta hagzela lanigzal atzmo. I would suggest, I haven't had time to check it through very, very thoroughly. I hope that those who are learning the sugya deeply will be able to do so and give me feedback. But I would suggest that what Rabbeinu Hananel is saying, by Geneva, there is also a mitzvah hashava. Not like the Rambam, where the Rambam says, by Gezele, there's a mitzvah hashava. By Geneva, there's not a mitzvah hashava. You've got to return the money because you've damaged the person. You've taken money away from the person. You've got to return it. But it's not a mitzvah of hashava that you're mekayim. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, it is. Because the Avera is there until Hashavta Hagzela Landigzal. What does Hashavas Aveda mean? It doesn't mean just getting it out of your bank account. It means getting it into the bank account of the Nigzal. And until you're sure that you've given it back to the Nigzal, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, Latzeit Yedei Shamayim. So the Rabbeinu Hananel is Mechadish, that there are mitzvahs you can do where you can check the box and say, I did the mitzvah. But does Shamayim consider you did the mitzvah? You said Kriya Shema today. Do you remember saying Kriya Shema? Not exactly, but I was in shul. I must have said it. Yeah, so you can check the box. You said Kriya Shema. But is Shemayim looking at your Kriya Shema and saying, wow, he said beautiful Kriya Shema today? No. The Shemayim is saying, okay, Kriya Shema. Okay. Not going to punish him for not saying Kriya Shema, but is that a Kriya Shema? There's a quality. It's not just a quantity. In our mitzvahs, there's a quality. So you've come and you stole 100, you're giving back 100, fine, fantastic, check the box. You're not holding money which has been stolen. But is that called the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, Latzeit Yedei Shamayim? No, Shamayim isn't satisfied with your returning the Aveda until you get it back into the pocket of the person from whom you stole it. Although that's not enforceable by court of law, that's what the Torah wants of a Jewish person. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam expects of us. So two important principles we learn here. The one about being mindful and the damage that we can cause people when we're mindless. And the second is to understand the quality of the mitzvot we do. It's not just about checking the box, but Hashem looks at us, even when we've checked the box and we've kept the whole of the Shulchan Aruch, it's possible that the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us and says, Yedei Avera lo yatzata, you haven't been Yotze Yedei Avera yet. Because the way that you did the mitzvot was not with the love and care and the fullness that somebody who's really serious about mitzvot does. And that's the standard we should set ourselves up to as much as we can, not to beat ourselves up. At times that we're mindless, or at times that we don't keep a mitzvah the way we should. Things are chaotic, things are crazy. But let's try as much as we can here and there, each day, make sure that there's some mitzvot that we do with super quality and that we're mindful and careful about the way we treat others and their property.